I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, gift-stealing,
with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine-wreck, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Houston, Cleveland, a back and forth ball game a little bit right now. You got a runner on third and first, top of the seventh, no outs. Jose Altuve is up to bat right now. And Trevor Bauer is in on the mound for Cleveland. You've got Atlanta and LA coming up at 1:30. And then later, you've got New York and Boston. As it appears, Altuve is going to get a run in, and it is a tie game at two. He got to first. All right, a lot we're going to get to. A funny text at the Better You Today text line about OBJ. We will talk about Odell. So yesterday, quickly, and then we'll get to our NFL whip around. I saw Pat Shurmur's comments in the post game after that brutal loss that they had in Carolina. And then I kept seeing people comment on Odell's comments. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Because I don't watch pregame NFL things anymore.
You don't watch the Sunday countdown anymore?
No, I haven't had interest in that since I was, 13 or something. So I don't really watch pregame anything anymore. And I went up this morning and I'm like, what the hell was everybody talking about? I watched the interview and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could, but I was like, wow.
I didn't. I saw like the quotes from the interview, but I did not like you watch it until today. And I was blown away.
It's very odd. It's not what you want to hear from one of your star players that you just committed a whole lot of money to. All right, let's get to our NFL whip around.
Frozen tundra running for radio.
All right, and we will start the NFL whip around. In Cleveland, where our Browns.
Woo! Woo! Is my overbet going to hit?
Oh, our overbet is going to hit.
Are we going to hit this thing?
Our overbet's going to hit. Thanks to Greg Joseph.
Joseph's kick on the way, and it is good! It went in, and the Browns win in overtime! It was so low, it almost looked like it got deflected.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Andrew Catalan from CBS Sports. I thought it was blocked. And when it went through, I'm like, what?
He went knuckle puck.
That was weird.
What is going on here?
By the way, I almost tweeted, your life's on the line. Who do you trust more with a game-winning kick, Cleveland or LA Chargers? They play this weekend.
Oh, I don't know if I can just give me death.
Yeah, give me death.
They're both going to miss it. I'm going to die.
Go for two.
Yeah, don't kick it.
How about this? We thought we knew the Ravens because they had a good win over Pittsburgh. They respond by losing at Cleveland 12-9.
Yeah.
Another overtime game for the Cleveland Browns. They are 2-2-1, and I loved the end. Hugh Jackson did not think that the game was over. He thought there was two seconds left. They get their first win on a Sunday since week 14 of 2015.
They're not used to this stuff, okay? Let Hugh Jackson make a mistake. He hasn't won a Sunday game. Has he ever won any as a Browns coach?
Yes, he was the Cleveland Browns coach in 2015, okay. And that was his only Sunday win until yesterday.
I don't blame him for holding up 2 seconds, even though it was overtime and it was a walk-off field goal. That video was hilarious. Part of me was sadistically rooting for a tie here. It felt like we were going to get one that they were going to lose the same way they did to Pittsburgh with a chance to win it.
Are they going
to
be in a tie in overtime every game?
They probably will. Now, look, this might sound crazy, but when you think about it, not that crazy. The Cleveland Browns.
By the way, that was his first win as a Browns coach?
It was his
on
first Sunday,
Sunday,
right? Yeah.
It was Mike Pettine was That's the coach right. in 15.
It's just his first Sunday win, okay?
His first Sunday
let
win.
Guy, let the guy enjoy it. You know, the Browns could be 5-0 right now.
They really could be.
Think about that for a second.
Right.
They had the tie against Pittsburgh to open the season. They could have won it on a last-second field goal.
Should have
won it, sure. The week two against the Saints, remember that crazy game?
They had the lead.
Big touchdown. They missed the PAT. They end up losing by a field goal. They beat the Jets in week three on Thursday Night Football. Last week, they should have won in Oakland. The refs handed them the game, and they admitted to it later in the week.
Yep.
And then they won this weekend. The Cleveland Browns could be 5-0, but hey, I think they're happy with 2-2-1.
Well, I think they're also happy being 2-2-1 because if they're 5-0, they don't have Baker Mayfield at quarterback. They have Tyrod Taylor still playing.
Ooh, I don't know about that. He was so bad in that Jets game, you had no choice but to pull him.
Sure, but if you're 4-1, are you pulling him? Because at that point, they would have been what?
Well, that
2-0?
was week three, so they would have been 2-0.
2-0.
And then
are
down
you pulling
big.
Him for 2-0?
They were down big in that Jets game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do. Tyrod Taylor sucks.
All right, let's go to Philadelphia, where Minnesota went in and made a statement.
Ball's out, picked up by the Vikings. Joseph, can he win this long foot race? Linval Joseph, no flags, touchdown Minnesota.
Yeah, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck on the call there, Fox Sports. He can win that foot race. He did win that foot race.
I love fat guy touchdowns.
Isaac Seumalo almost had him but got blocked last second. Did you see him chasing him down?
Trying to get him.
Minnesota, how about this? They go in and Adam Thielen all over that Eagle defense. They get the win in Philadelphia.
I just got one question. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
I did.
Kirk Cousins was great.
That's a great response following a tough Ram game.
And that, I mean, it's a brutal schedule. Now, granted, they did have the extra couple of days, which I think helps. That was a banged-up football team. Philly fought back, which you knew what was going to happen. I mean, that was a 17-3 game at the half, and Philly was just, they're just too good to roll over and die like that. You knew Minnesota was going to have to hang on. So you would have liked to see, I think, a little more offense from them in the second half. But remember, Philly's got a phenomenal defense, which I think makes what Kirk Cousins did that much more impressive. But also, I think this was a big one for the Minnesota defense. I mean, coming into the year, Minnesota was supposed to have one of, if not the best defense in the league. And the most recent memory of that team in our minds is the Rams running all over them on Thursday Night Football. Granted, it's Thursday Night Football, a little weird. They were on the road, I understand that. But the defense needed a big game, and that's the reason they won yesterday.
You know what? I want to give credit to this listener because this is an amazing poll. I didn't think about this.
Okay.
So we have a listener at the Better You Today text line. The Browns have won and lost in every way possible through 5 weeks. They've tied.
Yes.
They've won in regulation, lost in regulation, won in overtime, and lost in overtime. They have literally done everything you possibly can do in a game.
You just blew my mind there.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, there's nothing else you can do.
5 weeks for Cleveland.
There's nothing else you can do.
No, there's not. All right, let's move on. Big win for the Vikings. Let's go to Carolina where, heartbreak.
Ball is placed down. Dano from 63 yards out. It is good.
Yeah, there is Kenny Albert. That's on the call there. Let's go to the better call. So that's Graham Gano. And if you missed it, the Giants took a late lead 31-30 over Carolina. Carolina got to a point where they were 63 yards out on a field goal. And they said, Graham Gano, go win us the football game, please, and tie the NFL record. Yeah, he went out there and he did it. And here's the Spanish call for the Carolina Panthers.
Le ha sobrado distancia, le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar. Ganó lo gato. Señor, ganó lo gato. Ya se le voy a los pates. Taca.
Can you pull the gata?
Was he saying anything there at the end, or were those just loud noises?
That's Jaime Moreno and Luis Moreno Jr.
That would be Jaime Moreno.
Oh, Jaime. Yeah, you're right.
Jaime.
Well, we know how I am on Spanish.
That was great.
Remember the Spanish restaurants?
I do, yeah.
Yes, Lady Swag really enjoyed that the other day when she was listening.
That's them on WGSP 102.3 FM. What was he saying? What's the other word there?
When he said, just kept saying Gano. I know that.
But he said Gano.
Something.
I mean, let it go. Or,
I don't know.
Le ha sobrado distancia. Le van a servir. Tiene altura. Tiene profundidad. Va a llegar. Gano lo gato.
What's that?
¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Señor!
We need a translator. I need somebody to help me on that word. I want to know what that is. They said it a million times. Is that winning? That is not anything.
I think you don't think that's Spanish?
That is loud noises.
Ganó regato or regano?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just trying to.
Boy, we need translators on this show.
We need translators.
We need help.
Do we have a show translator? We got a colorblind. Colorblind Kyle.
Colorblind Kyle called in, yeah.
Can we get Spanish speaking somebody?
I took like 8 years of Spanish and I don't remember
I know
damn
nothing.
Word.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I did the same thing.
But no, big win for Carolina. Panthers are a good football team, man. They keep finding ways to win.
By the way, I have a humble brag. You have a million on me, so I'm just going to say my humble brag. I told you on Friday, do not bet on the GOAT. We bet against the GOAT, we lost. You bet on the GOAT, you lost. Who the hell are the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota? I don't know anymore.
Who dropped the wide open touchdown
pass? I don't know what his name is.
Lead.
Some little
He should be
waived today. By Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, they
Mariota.
Win the game if that doesn't happen. There's no
Good
doubt.
Good Lord. He's
literally wide open, literally in his hands.
Nobody within 15 yards of him.
Well, was I guess like I'm the 4-yard line. We walked into the end zone.
I know they didn't give him a lot of points. I'm just more curious. How did Buffalo even move the ball on the Tennessee defense to get the game-winning kick?
Good question,
Buff. I saw Josh Allen rushing a lot.
He had 82 passing yards and a pick.
Josh Allen?
Yeah.
What did McCoy finish with? You got the stats?
24 for 85. That was it. That was it. They won that game.
All right, there's our NFL round. We do it every Monday.
They had 223 total yards of offense. How?
Every Monday. Buffalo's a weird place to play sometimes for teams.
It is a weird one. And, I mean, the Titans turned it over three times. They had a couple of fumbles. Mariota threw the pick, and then you drop a touchdown there at the end. I mean, that's...
There you go.
Dear Lord.
All right, NFL whip around every Monday at 1. Did Pete Carroll cost his team the win? What did Sean McVay have to say about the Rams going for it on fourth down to win it? Talk a little Rams-Seahawks next on The Fan. Yeah, two good points brought up during the break. One at the Better You Today text line from P1 Aiden. The Bengals had quite the comeback.
Yeah, how does Miami lose a 17-0 lead?
Ryan Tannehill is terrible. Now,
are we done with Tannehill now? Are we off the Dolphins bandwagon?
No, I'm still on the Dolphins to be one of those. I told you. What did I say? 8-8, 7-9 type weird teams?
They're 3-2. Yeah.
I still think they'll be that because their defense is surprising.
There's wins in that division, too, with the Bills and the Jets.
If you want to play the all-too-early Justin Herbert sweepstakes game, Miami's a sneaky team to emerge in that. Because if I'm Adam Gase, there's no way his offense, when he's down by 10, because Cincinnati went on like a 27-0 run, there's no way if you're down 10 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're dialing up the screen pass every time. That's all he has Ryan Tannehill do. That guy cannot throw down the freaking field.
No, I'm still going to say the Giants are the leader in the clubhouse for those sweepstakes at 1-4 after their loss to the Panthers. But Miami is an intriguing fit. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and so Cincinnati gets the win. They're an impressive 4-1. And then the Lions might have cost Mason Crosby his job.
That damn kickers, man.
Do you cut
they
him?
Had, yes, you,
you
should.
Do. He's
yes.
been with that organization for a long time. This
care.
Is his worst game.
You missed five kicks.
Well, I think you make sure you go find somebody. I don't think you need jerk. Just cut him and then bring in some rookie. And
bring
go,
him in for practice and see if he can you know, beat a rookie or something.
You might say, hey, we're going to bring a couple guys in.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers had 442 yards and three touchdowns, and they lost that game.
You're in a dome.
Yeah, there's no excuse. He caught, 15 points or 13 points?
13.
He missed four
field goals and an extra point.
13 points. They would have covered the spread and won the game.
They would have won that game 36-31. Hell, we'll even give you one of the missed field goals, and you win the game 33-31.
Right.
Like, that kind of stuff's inexcusable, especially in a division right now where Green Bay is fighting. I mean, Minnesota got a big win. Chicago looks to be a much improved football team this year.
It's not looking good for them right now today.
It's not a cakewalk. And Detroit, for as bad as they've looked at moments this year, has looked great at moments this year. So that's a big divisional loss on the hands of or on the foot of one of your players.
Well, talking about a tough divisional loss, how about the game in Seattle? That might have been the game of the day. It was Seattle and the Rams in a game that a lot of people essentially put as the lock of the week. Blowout coming.
Yeah.
I saw media types in Seattle asking, are Seahawks fans prepared for a 9-point loss, a 20-point loss, a close game? Everybody was voting blowout loss. And Seattle actually had a moment there where you thought they could win this thing. Now, the defense is not good. It's no longer the Legion of Boom. It's the legion of whatever word you want to put in there to play off the word boom, but they can't stop anybody, especially that Rams offense. And they had a chance. The Rams were going to punt on fourth down. Pete Carroll calls a timeout with about a minute 30. The Rams offense comes back out on their side of the field, mind you, and Jared Goff sneaks in and they get the first down. They won the game.
Yeah, and one of the things out of that is I've seen conflicting reports. I believe Seattle called the timeout before the measurement. Because I've seen different, you know, people saying, well, why would you call a timeout after the measurement, realizing it's fourth down?
Well, because I think the punt team came out.
But they walked kind of out onto the field. It was weird. But then they realized that there was a timeout. I don't think Seattle necessarily, I think they called it and then they said, hold on, we got to measure this. And then the timeout went into effect after the measurement. But that you call that timeout. You call the timeout there.
So Pete Carroll didn't lose in the game?
To me, no. I've never seen a coach with, what was there, about a minute and 30 left on the clock?
A minute 31,
20, somewhere in that range. Yeah. So if you allow them to run that thing down, there's less than a minute left, and you don't use your timeout.
It would have been 102 if you let them run it down.
I don't think I've ever seen a coach do that. I think you call the timeout there, and you hopefully make them punt, but if they don't, you have to get a stop. The reason Seattle lost this game is because they couldn't make the Rams punt all day.
Yeah.
That's the reason they lost the game. I don't like singling out one little moment. There's not even a guarantee that if you get that ball, by the way, the Rams have a pretty good punter, correct me if I'm wrong, probably would have pinned Seattle deep, and then they're going to go the length of the field and win the game. There's no guarantee that even happened. So I don't like pinning this one on Carroll. I think every coach makes that call. Your defense couldn't stop anybody the entire day. That's why you lost a football game.
The conspiracy is actually it's flipped a little bit. Do you think McVay goaded him into taking the timeout? He wasn't actually going to punt.
Because there was a story that I read this morning that the players convinced McVay to go for it. McVay was going to punt it. And the players were like, dude, no, we got an inch to go. Let's end the game right now. Don't even give him the chance. So McVay said that after the game that he was kind of set on punting it, but he decided not to.
Well, here's Sean McVay in the post game on going for it on fourth down to seal the game.
You know, I think really when you look at it initially to talk about punting it, you look at the belief that they had and how much they wanted to do it. And because of their belief, it made me feel confident, and it made us as a coaching staff feel confident to make that decision. And ultimately it's a good decision because they made it right.
See, I love that. I know a lot of people are killing Pete Carroll, and McVay's gotten a ton of praise for this year, as he rightfully should. I love the approach there. And it's not just going for it on fourth down. It was more so like the believing in your guys. Because, you know, you say what you want. Like Frank Reich really took it really bad in the media a couple weeks ago when they lost to Houston. He went for it, and Houston basically ran like one play and then kicked the game-winning field goal. I buy into that building and meaning something to the locker room, though, right? Like if you have 5, 6, 7 guys come out during a timeout and say, we want to go for it.
Let's
We're
going
to get this. Let's win this game. Let's be done with this. I love a coach going, okay, instead of going old school. No, if we pull them down to the 10, I got no timeout. You know, our defense could hold them. And just being old school, get off my lawn guy. I love the aggressive nature. And sometimes it can go against you, and that sucks, and you get criticism for it.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, in the case yesterday, I think it only helps your reputation as the leader and head coach of a team that's already pretty talented within the locker room.
Yeah,
just like I think Frank Reich, you know, they fought back against New England. They could have rolled over. They didn't. And I think some of that stems from just the culture change he's made in Indianapolis. Doug Peterson gets destroyed regularly. He got destroyed by Troy Aikman yesterday because they went for two after they scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
They got it. They end up converting. But Troy, I don't like this. Well, but he trusts his team. And I like coaches that are willing to take their guys. And if they're saying they want to do it, let them go do it then. They're the ones making the big paychecks.
Yeah, if you're gambling, it's not always going to work for you, but I'm in favor of it more often than not, especially in cases like that. You have a fourth and inches. You trust your offensive line to get a push. You just need your quarterback to fall forward, and Jared Goff is a bigger quarterback as is. So I love that call in that moment, especially as you're mentioning with the players telling him to go for it. Doug Peterson had the same thing in the Super Bowl last year when Foles ran over and they're trying to decide what play to call. And Nick Foles is the one that called Philly Philly. He was the one that called the trick play down on the goal line. And he's kind of rattling through thinking, how do we get in the end zone? He comes over, hey, let's run a trick play here in the Super Bowl. And he said, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's run that play. And I'm with you. I love coaches that trust their players in those moments to go for it. Because more often than not, I think it's about teaching them that it's okay to roll the dice every now and then.
Right.
And sure, there's going to be moments where you fail, but I thought a great example of that, the last 2 weeks in the NFL were the same exact situation. I'm sure we'll get to it at some point, but you had the Colts game last week that you mentioned. Reich decides to go for it, and everybody kills him. Why would you go for it in your own end zone? You just handed Houston the ball game. What are you doing? Why would you go for it there? What did the Cowboys do last night?
Oh, that's a great point. They were too scared.
Same exact situation.
You got one of the best offensive lines in football, and you don't freaking run it on fourth and one.
They decide to punt it away on their own 40-something yard line. Literally the same exact moment. And what does Houston do? They get the ball. They go the length of the field. Hopkins makes a crazy play. He kicks a field goal. Like, it's funny.
That's the epitome of Jason Garrett, by the way.
And how much – I know Jerry Jones came out with a comment after the game, but there hasn't been that same amount of backlash about making the conservative call, which lost in the football game. If you get that, there's a chance you get a first down. You move it a couple of times. You kick the game-winning field goal. We crucify the guy who's aggressive, not the guy who's conservative.
Well, and I think today, finally, Cowboy fan, if they weren't already, waking up going, can we get rid of him already?
I would hope so.
He has no redeeming quality as a head coach. He claps hard. That's his redeeming quality. He doesn't add anything to the offense. He does absolutely nothing on defense. I was listening to sports radio in Dallas this morning because I saw the Jerry comment. So I turned over. I actually heard Gavin Dawson, who used to do shows here on The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody on his show made a funny point. They were like, was he good as an offensive coordinator? I don't remember anymore. They were just going off about Jason Garrett.
As you should.
And I said, I don't remember either.
Yeah.
So like Jason Garrett, that's such a good point to bring up because that was the nighttime game. You watch a guy go for it and say, screw this, dude. We're winning the game.
And it backfired and it cost him, which hurts.
Well, but even the Ram example, too. They could have got stopped. Seattle needs 10 yards. They're in field goal range.
Exactly.
And they win the game.
And CPass has been kicking like 60-yarders left and right this year. But I think if you're a Seahawk fan that you want to be mad about something, don't be mad about that play call. Be mad that you wasted a first-round pick on a guy who can't crack. They're not playing him.
No.
And they have, I believe, this is the first time since like 2012 they've had three straight weeks with a 100-yard rusher.
Yeah.
And this happened when they benched their first-round running back selection. I'm not ready to call him a bust, but
No.
You had a lot of needs on that football team. You use it on a position that people often don't like to use a draft pick on in the first round, and it has not panned out so far.
Yeah, so Seattle, L.A., I thought that was the game of the day. It was really entertaining. Russell Wilson was good. Seattle out there and making it a football game when a lot of people thought they were going to get absolutely blown out. All right, let's stay with football. We'll push the playoffs to crunch time. I just think that would work better. Odell Beckham Jr., we knew he was a diva, but then he did an interview on Sunday and confirmed everything. That's next.
Welcome back in, 133. We've reached the point in the show when Swag and Sprague stopped paying attention. Braves and Dodgers just started from Atlanta.
Huh? What? What?
Game four.
Sorry. Almost did a hot take last night on Twitter. Glad I stayed off.
Oh, you had a hot take ready to go?
Well, right after the grand slam by Acuna, I was feeling real good.
You're feeling good. Grand
slams. Waiting for a text.
Yeah.
Nah, I wasn't going to text yet. It's too early.
Yeah, it's only a game 3-2. You got to hold back, you know?
Right. I almost tweeted, Brave home unis. Best unis in baseball playoffs.
Now, I don't know if we're on the same cycle or not.
The same cycles, huh?
I literally almost tweeted that last night, too.
They're just clean.
I was on the brink of tweeting out, is there a better jersey in baseball than the Braves home unis?
Take my bias
aside.
Dodgers
home unis.
No, stop it. Get your bias out of here.
Come on.
Like, that is that's a great uni.
It's a great uni. They didn't overdo it.
No, the logo underneath. I love the belt loops and the pants.
Yep.
The simple stripe down the side.
The clean white.
Dude, that is a great uniform right
Thank
there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I almost tweeted that. I'm not making that up.
Would have been nuts if we tweeted like 2 minutes apart. I would have texted him like, dude, that's creepy.
This is weird.
Their home unis are, I love their home unis the best. That's probably why I fell in love with them as a kid.
Yeah, they're very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
You turn them on TV. So that game's underway, and then Cleveland and Houston still going on. We'll give you an update on that here in a moment. We did one last thought on that. We had a listener text in about the Oregon-Stanford game.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, being aggressive and going for it on third and two, yet everybody killed the coach for it. And I said the same thing. Not everybody, but a lot of people said,
in terms of kneeling it?
Why would you run it there? Why? It's the same thing. Right. When you're aggressive and you make a mistake, there are some that will want to criticize that. But I think there's a smart way to be aggressive. There's Mark Helfrich going for two every time you score a touchdown in Nebraska and losing a game by five. That's dumb aggressive. It's like right. good naked and bad naked. There's good aggressive and there's bad aggressive. And as long as you're doing it within the flow of the game, it's not something completely crazy, and it's trusting your team to go out there and close out a situation, I'm all for aggressive play calls.
And I would even think if you're going to bring that specific up, that's not even in the category for me because he's just doing what everybody does. That's not even like a matter of being aggressive and not. Everybody does that. Again, I'm not saying it's never happened, but the top of your head, can you think of three examples where the coach kneeled it?
With time left on the clock and then punted it? No,
that's,
I can't.
That's a normal thing. So that doesn't even fall in the same category to me. That's normal. And people in the moment, because they lost an emotional game.
Because of a mistake happened.
Right. Look for the reason and they point to that.
All right. Let's get to this in the NFL. Who could have ever seen this coming? You know, Odell Beckham has been, he's never been raising my hand very high. He's never been a distraction. He's never caused any problems in New York. He's just constantly on good behavior, nothing to see here, working hard, nothing with field goal nets, nothing, right?
He just wants his money, though. That was always the thing. He just wanted his money, and then it would be okay.
So, Odell Beckham's upset again. It only took 4 weeks, so I'm pretty pleased with the turnaround here. He sat down with Josina Anderson and did an interview, and it was reported that the Giants had no clue he was doing this. He did this on his own.
Yeah.
Great sign.
By the way, Lil Wayne's randomly in this but doesn't speak.
So it's him, Josina Anderson, and Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne's like a hype guy sitting next to him. He was just like shaking his head yes and no throughout the interview. And boy, were there some gems out of this. So he talked about the Giants quarterback situation.
I don't know. Like I said, I feel like he's not going to get out the party. He's not. We know Eli's not running. But is it a matter of time issue? Can he still throw it? Yeah. And it's been, you know, cool catching a shallow and trying to take it to the house. But I want to go over the top of somebody.
So dumping all over his starting quarterback. Check. Let's move on. What's holding you back personally, Odell Beckham?
I just haven't been in the situation. I haven't been in the place where I feel like I can really go out and do everything that I'm capable of doing. I don't get 20 targets like some other receivers.
So is it the offense? Is it the scheme? When you talk about you're not putting up
everything at the moment, it's just everything. Mm-hmm. It's just everything. And not to say that it's not going to work, but at the moment, I feel like I work entirely way too hard.
Quarterback sucks. Check. Not in the right situation. Check. Not using him the right way. Check. And one last one. What are your general frustrations here?
I just want to be able to be the very best that I can. And I don't feel like I'm given an opportunity to be the very best that I can, to bring that every single day. And that's really all I want to do, is bring that every single day. I don't want to be held back anymore. And since I've been here, yeah, I've put up numbers and records have been broken and all those good things, which, not to say mean nothing to me, but I know that they could have been double or triple, whatever they are. And now, that's the part that bothers me. I want to win. I want to be great at what I do. I feel like I could score a touchdown in the first half, touchdown in the second half. Honestly, I feel like I could score every quarter if I'm given a chance, but it's not the case. So I said, oh, my God, I need to get 2 touchdowns a game. 100 yards is a minimum. Like, my goals are set very, very high. And if I don't get to help attribute to a team's win or do anything like that, I'm not going to be okay with it, money or no money. Like, I'm just not going to be okay with that.
If I can't contribute to a team's win, I'm not going to be okay with that. Your team won.
Is that not like the worst thing, the worst quote you could ever have?
I
don't care about winning. If I don't contribute, I don't care.
I don't like when people pile on to certain athletes. Like, no matter what, they'll never not have a negative thing to say about them. I really try to like change that up if somebody does change or does something different. Like, this guy's not that good. Mm-hmm. Oh, now he's good. Okay, he's really a good player now. He's developed. Odell is one that I love to watch, and I've also kind of looked at and gone, not worth the trouble. Now, I'm always willing to change my opinion. Boy, I don't know anymore. You just got the contract you've wanted.
You're 4 games in.
You're 4 games into your year. And as you mentioned earlier in the interview, we didn't pull it. Last year, they won 11 games. They started 2-3. They started 2-3 and they won 11 games. So he knows that they struggled last year to start. They're struggling this year. They lost a brutal game. They probably should have won that, but Graham Gano's leg is amazing. Odell, like, you are, that's exactly why I would have not wanted to give you that contract. And I know Pat Shermer, we have a cut from Pat Shermer. I'm sure we can play it here in a second, but I cannot imagine the Giants waking up today, rewatching that and listening to it and going, yeah, real glad we're committing so much money to this guy.
Here is Pat Shurmur's response, head coach of the Giants.
All right, listen, I'm going to answer all the drama questions right now. And I'm going to go back to what I said. All right? I addressed it with Odell. I addressed it with our team. I publicly declared that I didn't agree with his comments. And I asked anybody that was interested, if they wanted clarification, go to Odell because he's a big man. Now, I'm not going to give the public a pound of flesh on this, right? That would make me small, not strong. And these are the kind of things, in my opinion, when you have the locker room that we have, that will help galvanize them because the locker room took care of it. And that's all I'm saying on it. Finito. Done.
I would hope the locker room took care of it, because when you have one guy who's booking interviews with ESPN outside of, you know, going through the team, when it is a peek behind the curtain, when you want to do an interview with somebody, you go through the proper protocol, you reach out to somebody from the organization, say, hey, can we get so-and-so on? There is a way of doing things, and he clearly went against that, and he scheduled this interview on his own. He wanted to be on national TV, on the Sunday Countdown show on ESPN, and he wanted to crap all over not only his organization, some of his coaches for not using him the right way, but also the guy who's throwing him passes. And is he completely wrong in some of his criticism? No. Eli Manning's not good anymore, and he can't push the ball down the field.
But he doesn't need to be saying
that.
You
don't say that kind of stuff publicly.
Right.
That is the problem, and this is when it becomes a distraction. And this is why there was always an issue. There has never been a doubt about the talent and the ability that he has. Never. We know how good he is. When he's healthy, he's one of, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL. But when that contract stuff was going down this offseason, both you and I continued to bring up the point of, could there be an issue here? Do you fully trust him? Do you think he's emotionally mature enough to not allow some of this stuff to happen? And never in my wildest, I didn't trust Odell Beckham. I didn't love the contract. I didn't think it was going to rear its ugly head 4 games into the season. I thought maybe you have a down year and something comes up.
Are they 1-4 or 1-3? Did they have a bye last week?
Let me look it up. I can't. They play Carolina. They're 1-4.
1-4. Okay.
They lost to the Saints.
That's right. Yeah.
In their last game at home, 33-18. So, but I didn't see it happening this early on into the year.
Well, I you know, it's kind of ironic as well, because, you know, I've been a little critical of Eli Manning and where he's at in his career now. I find it ironic that aired yesterday morning, and then Eli went out and was just throwing bombs all day.
He was.
Now, he cost his team a couple of times with some really bad interceptions, but he was willing to throw it down the field, and he connected with Odell on one of those long passes. It's just, you get what you pay for sometimes. And he's an incredible talent. Nobody could ever deny that. To say that you don't want him on a team, I think, is a little misguided. He really needs to get his head out of his you-know-what, and he needs to grow up a little bit and realize some of this stuff is internal. Keep it internal. To think that this was going to be a good idea. By the way, there's another question he's asked if he wants to be in New York. And his first response, get this. So they just gave him all that money. Someone goes, do you want to be in New York? He goes, that's a tough question. No, it's not. You just got the extension.
Right.
You just got all the money you're going to want. I think it kicks in next year. He mentioned sunshine. To me, he basically was telling him that he's really jealous and loves the Rams, because he was also asked about McVay's offense and how it looks when he watches it. He mentions the sunshine. We know he's in LA during the offseason. He's just, he's a headache, and it's tough to win with a headache. It really is. We all made fun of T.O. when he cried about having Tony Romo and protecting Tony Romo.
That's my quarterback.
Maybe that's the right approach here, rather than be the guy that's like, yeah, I mean, we all know Eli can't move. Okay, do you want a mobile quarterback? What are you doing?
I know.
Why did you do this interview?
Well, read some thoughts on the other side. What'd you make of Odell Beckham trashing a little bit on Eli Manning, saying he's not in the right place, they don't put him in the right situations, he's not utilized enough?
And somebody asked, why was little Wayne there? I don't know.
We don't know.
I didn't watch the whole interview. I didn't hear anybody say why he was there.
He doesn't talk. He just sits there.
He has one moment. He's like, yes, I'm Lil Wayne.
By the way, Lil Wayne's still alive. Good to see.
He almost was gone there for a while with the scissor.
We almost lost him. We'll read some thoughts on the other side. Also, an update on what's happening in the Wild Major League Baseball postseason. Do those crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning.
Let's go!
Thank you, Tommy. Shoulder day. We got a 1-0 lead in the Dodger game. Scored a run in the top of the first inning. Swigard's pumping his arms over there like an air traffic controller.
Yeah, you would have thought it was the game-winning run.
Yeah,
the way
you
celebrated
this. You
that.
Guys are going to hate each other by the end of the show. I'm just going
to. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The mic cracked, yeah. And I hated him today, yeah. To start it with no Brave highlight.
He didn't put your highlight in. So. He's flailing his arms over there. And double by Machado.
Oh, don't worry. Tomorrow, if his team is to happen to be successful, you wait for the open and you wait what plays if there's a certain highlight
oh,
in it. You wait.
Oh.
I'm happy to let you produce the opens if you'd like. So I'll knock yourself out.
Guys, this is getting awkward.
I'll do on-the-fly producing.
This is getting awkward, okay? Hey, we got a lot to get to final hour. We haven't talked about that Texas-Oklahoma game, Dicker the Kicker.
Dicker the Kicker.
We have not discussed that yet.
We all need a Dicker the Kicker.
A defensive coordinator got fired. We haven't talked about that. Yeah. LSU.
Well,
what
he
the
got fired because of Dicker the Kicker.
kind of did. And people are upset about some rankings. We got a lot still to get to in the final hour. We were talking about Eli Manning. Just wanted to read a couple of quick thoughts on this. Better You Today text line is 55305. That's how you can interact with us. somebody said, I think his comments were good for the team. If you look at the rest of the comments, they were more team player oriented. He did respond after the loss. I don't think the team has any issues with how he feels.
Well, we'll find out on Thursday when the Eagles come to town needing a win desperately, because if they go out there and the Eagles are able to slow them down and they can't move the ball the way they did against Carolina.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about this. How many of those guys, because of the 10 a.m. game it was, how many of those guys watched any NFL Sunday countdown and saw that interview? So, You know, half the team might have missed that interview, watched it later on the bus, the flight back. They don't respond against Philly. I don't know about that statement. We'll find out in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm more old school. Maybe you and I are in that same line of thinking and stuff like this. Like some of the things that he said are true. And I don't have a problem with him having that opinion. It's how you voice them. Like if you have a team meeting, your team. So he did this before the Carolina game. They're 1-4 now. So they were 1-3 when he sat down and did this interview. If you want to have a team meeting and say, dude, Eli, we got to push the ball down the field. Or, hey, Pat Shurmur, I don't feel like I'm being utilized the right way.
Sure.
Can we find different ways to incorporate me into the offense? Or he made a lot of comments in the interview about how defenses run cover twos against him all the time. And he's struggling to find holes in certain spots. Like, if you want to have a team meeting and voice that stuff privately, I have no problem with it. The Giants are going to listen to you. They have a ton of money invested into your success. They're not going to say, dude, shut up, Odell. We don't care what you think. He's the face of that team, and what he says is going to have some bearing. But when you do it publicly, it makes it look like you're throwing the other guys inside the locker room under the bus. That's what I have an issue with. There's another wide receiver, I think, right now in the NFL that could have a serious argument about the way he's utilized some of the stuff that's gone against him, and that's Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones, numbers-wise,
I don't think he's scored a touchdown this year.
He hasn't.
No.
How many times did he have one red zone touchdown last year? He hasn't scored a touchdown yet this year.
They don't throw it to him in the red zone.
Sanu and Ridley.
So you're talking about maybe the most physically dominant wide receiver in the NFL who plays for a team who a couple of months ago didn't want to give him a new contract, who doesn't throw it to him in the red zone, and who is 1-4.
Yeah. And they didn't look good offensively yesterday. Pittsburgh shut them down.
What have we heard from Julio Jones?
Nothing.
Is he sitting down doing interviews with Josina Anderson saying, man, Matt Ryan sucks. He doesn't push the ball down the field enough. Or Sarkisian doesn't throw me the ball in the red zone.
We didn't hear anything even in the offseason when we knew he was not happy about the financial situation.
Yeah, it was all secondhand stuff, and then they settled it and he showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
There are guys that have beefs with their team, and I understand that. And you just don't do it publicly.
Nobody is going to be perfect in their career. Again, I think he can still change, mature, and maybe he looks back in 5 years and laughs and goes, what was I thinking? Or maybe this is going to be him, because you get diva wide receivers from time to time. The one guy I've pointed to, and I know he is not on the level of him, but I think he's just a tier below and he's really consistent. And I've done this with our friend Marcus, who works at the Fan too. Like Mike Evans, right? Like Mike Evans is a really good player. He's had a great career. He statistically is having a good season. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard a word from him. You don't hear anything about Jameis. You don't hear anything about the Bucs. You don't hear anything about the offense. He just goes out and he plays football and he balls out. And I pointed to him just because I've said, I know skill-wise, Odell is a game changer. There's nobody would ever dispute that. He's a guy that you get the ball and he could break one for 75 yards and you go, damn, he's so talented.
He is.
But I think I'd almost as a franchise rather have a Julio, rather have a Mike Evans. Somebody I know that's tall, that's physical, that's athletic, can catch the ball, and is never going to concern me with these kind of problems. It's enough that you got to deal with as an organization. I just think if you have a problem with Eli, if you're not happy in New York, or why'd you sign the extension?
Right.
If you're unhappy with the offense, any of that stuff, it's fair to be that. I get it. You can handle that internally. You didn't need to schedule an off, non-sanctioned interview with ESPN, put it on national TV, and randomly have Lil Wayne next to you and talk about how amazing you are and how the team holds you back. You could have doubled and tripled your numbers. You're getting a little extreme there, too, aren't we? You've already had pretty phenomenal numbers.
He could have four touchdown catches a game if he's utilized the right way.
I see guys getting 20 targets. No, you really don't, though.
No.
You rarely see guys get 20 targets in a game, man.
There's only 19 guys in the NFL, I believe, that have more targets this year than Odell Beckham.
Exactly.
And it's not a wide. I mean, there's a couple of guys in the 60s. He has 40-something targets. A lot of guys are just in the mid to upper 40s that are ahead of him.
So yeah, see, Calvin Johnson's another example. He was phenomenal, and obviously he got upset. He retired. He's like, I'm done taking this.
How about A.J. Green? A.J. Green's a stud. He's got the red rifle thrown to him. They can't win playoff games.
Like, they brought it all back this year. I didn't hear one negative from A.J. Green about it.
No, they've been pretty bad. You know, and somebody texted in, you don't know that he didn't do it privately first. Maybe they weren't listening. I refuse to.
You don't give $95 million to a guy and not listen to him. That makes zero sense in business and sports.
When one of the faces of your team, when Damian Lillard goes to Paul Allen and says, I'm not happy about the way things are going right now. Do you think Paul Allen says, get the hell out of my office.
I don't need to hear from you.
No, he
you
says
think if CJ does it, let's go to CJ. Right. Let's say CJ's the second tier paid guy.
Of course, he's gonna say, yeah, well, how can we make your stay more pleasant here? How can we make you more happy inside of our organization? We need you to be good.
You brought basketball up. CJ McCollum.
I did.
I would more equate Odell with CJ, right? Like, let's just give Eli the Damian label. He's won two Super Bowls until he's gone. Odell second. Terry Stotts has been quoted regularly that he takes Dame and CJ out to dinner to ask them how they feel about the way the team is being run, the system they're running. You think that's not going on in pro football?
Yeah.
How many more examples do we need with Odell before we go? I don't know, guys. What if he didn't do that?
That's just who he is, man.
No, this is how he communicates. Yeah. He doesn't like to do it internally. He likes to express himself externally. He's a social media guy. This is what you get.
We'll see what it means for their season. Now 1-4, Gano hits the game winner, and they lose this weekend. And
I feel like a fuddy duddy.
Yep, that was it.
That's how I would feel if I was Eli.
That is gibberish.
Yeah, that's not a word.
Like, there's no way.
That's not a word.
By the way, we talked about that earlier. Sorry to come way full circle, but the Gano apparently in Spanish means win.
I did not know that.
So he was. That's why he was saying like Gano la Gano, like Gano wins it.
That's probably why I got C's every time I did Spanish. I didn't even know what win meant.
Couldn't win your test if you don't know how to spell win.
All
right. Odell Beckham, not happy. That didn't take too long. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Back to some college football stuff. There's already something that's piquing my interest in the Duck Husky Week that I want to get to. I quite enjoyed. Need to talk about some baseball things. Also, a fun poll question for you at Turton Sprague on Twitter. If they played right now, neutral site, who do you take, Chiefs or Rams? Who's the better football team?
I'll tell you right now, I really want that to be the Super Bowl.
That would be a fun Super Bowl.
I don't even care if they fizzle out at some point. Right now, I want that to be my Super Bowl.
Let's start there. Final hour. Who do you take? And 55305 is a better you today. Text line, Chiefs or Rams? The last two undefeated teams in the NFL both got wins this weekend, and we got a poll question on that at Durton Sprague on Twitter. Get to it next. Load of final hour, Durton Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.